know, offering time is, you know, I think that people do typically sometimes do a little teaching or share a little something before offering. But here we just do it. It's a little bit different. And obviously, you know, when we talk about giving and stuff, normally people, you think you have to come for a little while to be actually trained in stuff before you actually can tell the difference between certain things that, you know, you may hear here versus some other places. But when you come consistently here, I think you start being able to tell, like, you know, and maybe it kind of happens gradually. I think that sometimes people, when they first maybe come here, I think maybe when you hear certain things, even when the gospel is being preached, sometimes you fit it into your own mentality sometimes. So you almost think like, yeah, they're saying pretty much the same thing that I've heard before. But I think when you come a little bit more consistently, you start hearing, like, you know, you start having a mentality developed in you. You start having your mind renewed to different things. And, you know, it's like when you have constant exposure to the word and then you go back and you listen or you hear something else, you know, even accidentally, if you hear some other, whatever it is, something on TV or some other teaching or something like that, I think that's when you really can tell how far your mind came, when you're like, wow, it shocks you actually what certain people can say today. But you know, though, that only comes, though, with the renewing of your mind, okay? The renewing of your mind is something that is, it's a constant thing. It's a training thing that your mind goes through, okay? It's not something that you just, you know, like when you learn 2 + 2, you can learn 2 + 2 and you don't have to meditate on it. You just, oh, okay, it equals 4. It's not, you know, now you've got it now. But the Word of God is not like that, okay? Our relationship with God, not when we're learning Jesus, and when Jesus says to learn from me, because that's the only yoke that Jesus said that he gave us. He says, learn from me. That's something that is a day-by-day thing. It's a constant thing, you know, because, well, let me even say this. Paul even said in 2 Corinthians, he said, the inner man, he says, being renewed day by day. So it's a consistent thing. And the reason why it's a consistent thing is because God's continually teaching you, and God's always willing to teach you, okay? There's never a time where God's not willing to teach you. For someone to think that at some point God's not speaking to you or something like that is really just, it's a silly thought to think, because there's nowhere in Scripture that you would even say something that would even remotely give you that impression, okay? The only thing the Holy Spirit is doing on the earth today is teaching people Jesus, okay? God, even anymore, he's not healing people anymore. You know, healing is not for today. Raising the dead is not for today. Cleansing the lepers is not for today. That was a 2,000 years ago thing. What people are doing today is people are learning Jesus. We're getting a clue about what Jesus already did. God's not starting revivals and doing all this stuff today. You know, people always want all these, you know, this big hoopla, this big deal to go on for believers today. But especially for a believer who's already received the finished work of Jesus, you're not going to get anything else from God. So this is why we renew our mind. Like I said, everything that need to be done, Jesus did 2,000 years ago, and it's not going to be done again. God won't send Jesus again to provide anything. When Jesus comes again in his second coming, he's not coming to save anybody. He's not coming to deliver you from the world. He's not coming to give you a glorified body. Honestly, he's not. I mean, we think that, but that's not the case. God has already given you, the Bible says, in reference to our glorified body, in 2 Corinthians 5, the Bible says that, in specific reference, like the context of the first few verses in 2 Corinthians 5, is our glorified body. And it says that God has already worked us for this very same thing. He's given us his Spirit as a guarantee. So it says that God's actually already worked you, done all the work in you that's necessary for a glorified body. So God, Jesus, is not even coming back to give you a glorified body. Do you know what the only thing that's going to happen that's going to change us, that we'll get a glorified body when Jesus comes back? The Bible said that we know in that day, this is 1 John chapter 3. I said actually chapter 5 the other day to the teens, but it's actually chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, it says we know that we'll be like him on that day. It says because we'll see him as he is. And when he says we know we'll be like him, he's talking about our body. It says we know, in other words, our body will be like him on that day. We'll have a glorified body. It says merely because we'll see him as he is. So in other words, when Jesus comes back, the only difference between then and now is not because God hasn't worked you for a glorified body right now. God has already glorified you on the inside. He's justified you and hence glorified you. So anyone that God makes righteous, the follow-up is the glory of God. If you're made righteous, that means you're qualified for the glory of God. And you're made righteous, that means you already have the glory of God. A glory that's good for your body. A glory that's good to glorify any part of you. You know, from your mind to any part of your body, God's already given you that glory because he's justified you. The only people that fall short of the glory of God are those who are in their sins. The Bible says that when you sin, that's how you fall short of the glory of God. You can't receive the glory of God if you're in sin because you're disqualified for it. You know, normally when that's quoted, it's all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But people quote that as all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. But that's not what it means. If you're in sin, you cannot receive the glory of God. Only those who are justified can receive the glory of God. So if you're righteous, you already have the glory of God. And so the only difference between then and now, as to when Jesus comes back the second time, and us presently right now, as you're sitting in your seat right there, is your knowledge. That's the only difference, is that we don't understand what Jesus did right now. And you can, but I'm just saying that your typical Christian doesn't even know what they have living on the inside of them. And we can know these things, but the only difference between when Jesus comes back and right now is that on that day, it says we'll see him as he is. And like I said, most Christians don't know even the least of the things that God's actually put on the inside of them. Even, you know, I was just talking to Miss Kim just recently, even the things that we sing about how Jesus conquered the grave and stuff. And I just asked Miss Kim, I said, I don't know that most people even know what they're saying. Jesus conquered the grave. Like, they think that means because Jesus was raised from the dead, like, he conquered the grave. And we sing, and we're like, oh, he conquered the grave. But, I mean, think about it for yourself right now. What does that mean to you? He conquered the grave. When Jesus conquered the grave, people honestly mean, like, almost like they're saying that for Jesus himself. Like, you know, he's not in the grave anymore. But that's not, when Jesus conquered death and stuff, that's not what he's talking about. It's a literal, or let me say this, when people even talk about Jesus conquered death, like, they think it's metaphorical. Like, they say, well, it's not physical death, it's spiritual death, or whatever we say. So, but that just shows me that you don't even know the least of what Jesus did for you, because it's not some spiritual thing that, I mean, it's like, if you're reading in the Bible, if you're reading, say, in the Old Testament, you're reading in Jeremiah, then you read, oh, so-and-so and so-and-so died. You know, we don't think that's spiritual death, right? We'd say, well, so-and-so died. Well, I mean, what does that mean? Well, they died, their body died. But when Jesus conquers death, we say, well, that's not like talking about like death. Everybody dies. It's talking about, you know, something else. It's talking about separation from God. You know, that's typical Christian doctrine today. You know that? That death means separation from God. And the Bible doesn't say that. I mean, give me a verse that says that. There's not a verse in the Bible that says that. The closest thing is a verse in John 17, which is out of context. And that is talking about eternal life. People say eternal life means knowing God, and death means separation from God. So all this stuff, though, it just shows that we don't know what we have in Christ. And that's the only difference between then and now, is the Bible said the only reason why you're going to see, and that word is important, the only reason why you're going to see your body entirely glorified when Jesus comes back, it says, because you will see Jesus as he is. On that day, we're going to have a full revelation of Jesus. When he comes down, right on the clouds of heaven, you know, kind of wrap up with this. I don't know how it happens right now. I know that God can show me, and so I don't doubt that he will, but right now, presently, this service, I don't totally understand this, how it happens, but I know that the Bible says, like I said, 1 John 3, it said that we will see him as he is. It's not going to be because you witness him with your eyes when he comes down out of the clouds of heaven, because nothing that you witness with your eyes is going to help you at all. You can't see enough miracles done to actually cause you to receive from God. You can't, you know what I'm saying? If you see something miraculous done, the Bible actually says to not behold it with your mind. I mean, that's contrary to what most Christians do. We behold the unseen with our mind. You can't look at things that are seen because it won't help you. It'll deceive you, actually. If you saw a healing done today and you paid attention to it with your mind and you meditated on it, you'd be deceived, okay? And I'm not going to go into why right now. But any judgment that you make based on things that are seen is incorrect, unrighteous judgment, okay? So nothing that we see with our eyes is ever going to help you or make you receive from God. There's no experience that you can go through that's going to help you or make you receive from God. It's not going to make you stronger. It's not going to do anything to your faith, okay? Experiences and things in this world cannot help you, okay? Only the Lord, obviously, can help you. The world can't help you. So anyhow, when we see Jesus with our physical eyes, when he comes down out of the clouds of heaven, that's not what I'm talking about when I say that we'll see him as he is, okay? I'm talking about our mind is going to perceive him in actuality. All the things that he's done for us, we're going to get to know it immediately. In a split second, we're going to know it. And again, there's a reason for that, which I just don't know right now presently how it happens, but I know what will happen, and that's what will happen. That we'll see him as he is. That the Bible said that's the only reason why your body will be glorified. That's the only reason, is because you'll know him as he is. Not because God just in that moment gave you a glorified body and worked you for these things. Because again, if you go to 2 Corinthians 5, it said that God already presently, it said that he has already worked us for this very thing. Speaking about our glorified body. He has already worked us for this very thing. It says, by giving us his spirit inside of us as a guarantee. So, like I said, the only reason why you're even going to see a glorified body is not because God, honestly, just so you know, also, your glorified body is going to be your same flesh you have right now, just having received, right? You're not going to get a different body. Even people that are in dust in a tomb somewhere, Abraham's body is certainly not intact right now. And that body, it's the same body. God will collect him and God will glorify his body by the same glory that Abraham has in his spirit right now. Because Abraham's spirit is obviously with the Lord right now. His body is in dust. But the glory that's in Abraham's spirit is going to actually glorify his body and bring things back. So all the things consist again, built up again, and kind of like Valley of Dry Bones, similar to that, probably. But it'll consist again. But you see, Abraham, God's already worked Abraham for the glorified body already. If Abraham wants to come back right now, he can totally come back. There's nothing holding him with the Lord, his spirit in heaven. There's nothing, there's not any boundary there. If Abraham wants to walk the earth again, no problem. He can talk, as long as there's someone on the earth that actually knows what they're talking about. Someone who actually knows Jesus. Then Abraham can come back. But you see, the only reason why we don't see more people raised from the dead or things like that is merely because we don't know what we have. Not because we don't have it. We have it already. We need to understand what we have. So I'll just kind of leave you with this last statement that in anything you go through, there is something that you can understand that will glorify that area of your life and beautify it and make it better and heal it or whatever it is. You can know Jesus and you can see change in that area. It doesn't have to be that way because God's not allowing it to be that way. It can change. It can change. There was zero limitations on it. When the Bible says Jesus conquered death, he meant Jesus conquered death. There is no bondage to death. That's why I just said Abraham can come back right now. There's no limitation. It's almost like even like someone dies, if they're still fresh, you know, it's almost like then you can raise them from the dead. But once you close them in a casket, lock it, bury it, now God can't do it anymore. That's the silliest thing, obviously. Jesus was in a tomb and he came out just fine. And he didn't need the stone to be rolled away to come out of the tomb either because he came out before the stone was rolled away. The stone was rolled away to just for the witness that he was already out. So just so you know, we limit God in our own minds, but God is not limiting you to what you see in your life. We limit God because we don't understand how good we have it. So let me just say this. As a Christian, for the rest of your life, you already have it so good. You as a Christian are only progressively getting to know how good you have it. And that's all that we're doing now. God doesn't have to give you anything else. We're renewing our mind to understand how good we have it. And if you struggle, and if you have things, and you overcome by stuff, and you see this and that, it's not because, oh, God let this happen or something. It's because we need to understand what we already have so the good things that's on the inside of us can be proven, given evidence, and manifest to whatever the situation is, okay? There is something that you can know. It's never too late. Like I said, we pray for people for healing until they die, and then it's like, oh, now too late. Because Jesus didn't come to conquer sickness. He came to conquer death. But we don't know that, you see? That's why we close the casket and say, too bad now, because we don't understand what we have. That's it. Because it didn't stop Jesus raising Lazarus. It doesn't stop God from raising Christ from the dead, which is our true example, because Lazarus is not our example, Jesus is. So I just really want to encourage you with that. You're not limited to anything. You just get to know Jesus. Don't worry about the manifestation itself. Just get to know Jesus. Say, Lord, teach me then. If I got this, then teach me. I don't want to walk around like a human being if I'm really having all this stuff inside of me. So, all right, so we got to stop there. But the ones that are working upstairs can head up for get ready for the rest of the teens. And if you want to give, then you can give today. And as I said on Friday, we don't even obligate you to give here because it's not an obligation. It's a good thing. You're missing out. If you don't give, you're missing out. The gospel's, you know, missing out too. But I tell you what, though, God will get his gospel accomplished through the people that are, you know, believing him and stuff. So regardless, we're not asking people to give just so that please help us or something, you know. It's when you give to the gospel because you want to give to the gospel. If you want to give, then you give today. And you give what you give willfully, all right? That's how you give, not a percentage. There's no percentage. You give what you give willfully. So, okay, so we're going to give now, and let's just pray first. Father, we come to you right now. We thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you so much, Father, for the testimony that is the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Thank you, Father, the word of our testimony, Lord, the word that the Holy Spirit teaches us. Thank you so much, Father, for the word of our testimony. In other words, the word of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, your Holy Spirit is that testimony living on the inside of us, Lord. And I thank you so much, Jesus, for your blood. I do thank you for your blood, Jesus, because your blood has provided all these things. And so we thank you so much for your blood, Lord. But we also thank you specifically right now for the word of our testimony, Lord. Because, Jesus, it was by your blood that we have this inheritance, but it's by the word of our testimony that we can actually learn it. And we can actually understand this, Lord. So we thank you so much, Father, for the word of our testimony, which is the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the word of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of the Holy Spirit that's able to teach us and renew our hearts, Lord, so that we do understand and we do have clear understanding of all that you've done, Jesus, for us. So Jesus, you are not just the grace, Lord, but you're the truth. Lord, you're not just the provision by your blood, but you're also the teacher to let us know these things. So Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can trust you, Lord, to teach us so that we get to know everything we have in Christ. And I thank you so much, Lord. There's awesome results, Lord Jesus, when we see you as you are. And Lord, we don't have to know everything. We don't got to know all like everything about everything. Lord, we just got to know Jesus. That's all we got to know to receive from God. We don't got to know the ins and outs of this biblical concept and that biblical concept and all this stuff and memorize this and don't memorize that. And Lord, we don't have to do all this stuff, all this religious stuff, Lord. We don't receive from God by just knowledge. Knowledge isn't going to help us, Lord. It's knowing Jesus. It's the simple knowledge of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. That's what causes us to receive from all that we have. So we thank you, Jesus, so much for all that you've given. And we thank you, Father, for the word that's taught here, Lord. It's a precious thing above everything in this entire earth. More than gold, more than silver, Lord. More than anything, Lord, that our heart can desire. I thank you so much, Father. There's nothing more precious than the wisdom, Lord, that is your gospel. So we thank you, Father, to be able to come here, Lord, for under leadership, Father, that you've given vision to, Lord, here. To sow your word into people's hearts. So we thank you so much, Father, for that, Lord. We thank you so much for your spirit that is here, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come to a place where we can just be encouraged in your gospel. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you for all this stuff. In Jesus' name.